Welcome to The Millennial Wave. This is Rachel Kayleen, entrepreneur and millennial leader. If you aren't familiar with The Millennial Wave, our mission is to be a voice for the millennial generation. So we're constantly collaborating with new guests to help give our audience the guidance and raw knowledge needed to spark ideas and accomplish their goals. Again, if you've been here before, welcome back. If you're new here, thank you for coming on. And if you do get value, all we ask is that you give us a rating and a review to be able to share with us how much you enjoy listening to this podcast. All right, guys, so let's hop into it. Hey guys, what's going on? Welcome back to The Millennial Wave. I'm Rachel Kayleen, and this is episode 46 of the podcast. We're just knocking them out left and right right now. We have Rouge the Misfit.
What's going on?
Yeah. He's out here right now. He is an artist. He is a producer, an engineer. I mean, he does it all. He's a consultant. On top of that, he likes to mention that he's a relationship advice counselor. So
yes,
you guys need him.
Be in love.
He is there for you. All right. So thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So we actually got connected from a mutual friend, long lost cousin. No, I'm just kidding. I actually met the gentleman who also started the label with you 5 years ago. And now we all got connected.
That's the way the universe works.
I know. It's amazing. I love it. So I want to know, obviously, this is my first time meeting you, and this is your first time meeting me. So I want you to kind of take me back to, like, why you guys started this label, what it's all about, who are you, what are you about, what's your background? Go ahead.
Oh, man. So this little musical journey was, it started a long time ago. I would say it really came into fruition in 2010. I was in a group, Mayhem Music, and we was just like two rappers that met in college, and we just started rapping in my living room in my house every single day, hour after hour, like every single solitary day. And one day he had met someone, and he was like, "Hey, I got somebody who has a studio, and we about to go to the studio." Like an actual studio. We didn't got to do the living room no more. So we ended up going to a studio downtown, and we had met, and he had talked us up. He was like, "Man, this dude know how to rap. He can do this and do that." So when he met us and we like put that first song on, that song sucked. It was the worst song we've ever
really?
Created. It was horrible. Damn. We rapped good on it, but he can see the talent was there. But he was like, "Don't ever make another song like that again."
what was wrong with it? The beat,
the beat was good. It was just
the delivery.
The hook sucked. The hook was really bad.
Do you remember the hook? Come on.
I deleted it from my memory.
It was that bad.
It was horrible. But he can just tell like the talent, like the drive that we had to get in there, the creative process. Even though we created something horrible. We started working on a project together titled Verses and Hearses, and we really went like all out for that project. We got a DJ, a local DJ, DJ Geo, who's like did huge things.
Yeah.
And he was hosting it. We did like, we was in the studio like nonstop. We were like sleeping in the studio basically, it seemed like.
This was in 2010?
This was like around 2012.
Okay.
So, I had a studio in my house, and then we had the actual studio that we went to. So it was like, we go there, we like ran out of money, or, you know, you got to have some type of
funds.
You know, yeah.
It's expensive.
So go back to the house, and we there until like 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, sun's coming out. And from then, it just turned into something super to where like everyone, we started reaching out to more people. We met singers and other engineers, producers, other people who was like in the game, and it turned into something that, you know, is now that we're doing something major. So
I love it.
Yeah.
So when did the label start?
I'm gonna say maybe like 2015.
Okay.
2015, and then we had like a home studio that was like home base, and then like a lot of people started coming and messing with us, and we were doing shows, opening up for artists, big artists, doing like Ace of Spades and things like that. We had our feet to the street, and we just like kept it on there. So we just want to keep up that same momentum going forward. Now it's kind of like more Sacramento is we can tell it's like it's blowing up, it's big, the eye is on us. But me personally, my focus is to like get away from not like just get away from Sacramento, but to like explore other markets and meet other people. Cause I mean, there's talented people everywhere and I just want to be able to like see as much as possible. So
you don't want to be only a Sacramento, basically Northern Sacramento based label.
Yeah.
You want multiple people from different areas.
I want to like go wherever, because every state and every like every place has like its own musical culture. Mm-hmm. So like I just came from LA shooting videos out there last month, and just like networking with people there and seeing people there, like there's people everywhere and they all got drive. Like I don't want to just limit myself to just like one particular region. I think that's how a lot of people feel, is thinking they have to stay loyal to something, like have a dream and stay loyal to what you want to do. But that doesn't mean you have to stay in one spot and not move around, because I mean, it's all about making relationships with people. So.
Yeah, 100%. Mm-hmm. I love it. So what made you want to start a label? Like, rather than just being an artist and being someone that creates music, why did you want to kind of go out of the box? Because I know that a lot of, like, artists, like, they do start labels.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of people that are big that are, like, they have their own thing. They have their own company. But I want to know what made you want to do that instead of continuing to just only do music.
I think the biggest thing is all about ownership. Like, I mean, you see it all the time. Like, a lot of the most successful people that we see, like the Tech Nines, the E40s, the Masterpieces, like, they didn't just settle for getting signed. Like, they did their own thing. Like, you know, when you have ownership of something, it feels better. I mean, not to slight people who sign a deal, because a lot of the times when you sign with a label, they give you things that you can't get as, you know, just a singular entity. Like promotion and funds that you probably can't come up with by yourself. A lot of artists are struggling people. And I think if that's the direction that you go, then that's okay. But I think a lot of people would like to have, like, they want to own something. You see a lot of, that's like the mode right now is just ownership. So that was like the big thing.
I feel like a lot of people are talking more about it. And the more that I get involved in like the industry and learning about what people say, and like when you really listen to what they talk about in their music, they also talk about how like, oh, getting signed or being dropped, and then they don't talk about all the shitty things that happen in the industry. So you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because like getting signed and like not knowing, like all we see are these artists, like
right.
these people that we just think are like crushing it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That
oh, yeah,
don't
for
have
sure.
any type of problems. Like people got their back, they're making millions, mm-hmm. making tons of money. But it's not always the case.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't know that.
Yeah, that's a big thing. Like when you see people talk about, yeah, I just got signed for this many millions of dollars, that's not how much they've netted. That's how much they are allotted for what they're about to put out. The label's going to take a lot of that. You know, you still have to pay for, that's your salary. So, you know, if you're not responsible with your money, like that can be gone. If you don't meet your end of the deal, because they expect you, they project you to sell a certain amount. If you don't meet that projection, then your money is gone.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's all about, I'd rather control the controllables. I'd rather fail at something that I try to do myself than put that power in somebody else's hands and it doesn't go the way it's supposed to go. And then you got to start from the beginning no matter what. So I'd rather just try it myself first, you know.
I want to know, I'm so curious, how do you go about creating a label and bringing on artists and finding those artists, kind of scouting them, recruiting them, signing them? How does that all happen? Like, I really want to know from like your perspective of everything that's happened, how do you do that?
I think it's all about being out there and just being around, you know. Like we had a studio where there was a lot of traffic, so there was always people coming in and out, and we built relationships with people. Like once you put your feet to the street and you going somewhere, you're doing shows, everyone's going to ask you, you know, how did you do this? How did you do that? And a lot of people, their biggest thing, like, they create music and their biggest, like, pitfall is, like, I have nowhere to record. I don't know how to record. I just know how to make good music. So there's so many talented people who just don't even know, like, the music business side of things. And I think that that's what makes it easier to, like, find people. And it's a lot of hungry people out there. We hungry, too. So it's not like we like some major huge label or anything like that. We hungry just like everybody else is. And when you meet like-minded people, it's only right to like to build with them. So
what do you think makes a good artist, like an overall good artist, not just someone that makes good music because a lot of people can make good music, but what makes people good that makes listeners want to buy their music, stream it, like Cardi B, like that shit is so catchy. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like that's a star. So how do you go about finding someone that can get to that level?
It's like, to me, as far as music goes, and I think like Cardi B would be like a popular artist. So to me, I don't really think about popularity as much. I think about somebody who really loves music. That's what they love to do. And not saying that she doesn't love music, but there's like people who like will be homeless in the streets and they're playing the guitar for like donations in the street, or they're singing on a bridge somewhere and like they're hungry and that's what they like to do. Like they love it. They eat, they live, they breathe music. And those are like the people who I gravitate towards. Like people who like, they just love, they eat, breathe. Like we could make $0 and they're like, it doesn't matter. I just want to do music. I just want to create something and we'll figure out everything else after that. Like that organic, just like love for music is what I look for.
And you feel like those are the ones that make it?
I feel like the ones who make it right now in this generation, the ones who make it are whoever makes something popular. So, and that's just the honest truth. I mean, there's hungry artists who get overlooked all the time, but like whoever makes something, it's hard to like say who's going to make it. You like just whatever catches the social media thing. It's so many variables into what could make something successful. It's just all about your hustle. It's all about the hustle for real. Like how hard do you want it? How uncomfortable are you willing to get to make something pop? Like you could love music all you want to and eat, live and breathe it, but like how uncomfortable are you willing to get to make something pop? Cause we didn't been like struggling to make something happen. No sleep. Like we got to make this happen. Like the hunger for it, how uncomfortable are you willing to get to make it happen? So that's a big thing too. Like who wants to make it happen?
Yeah. So one of the things is like getting it to pop and then obviously connections. Mm-hmm. So what do you think, like as you've seen so many artists within the last few years, what stands out to you besides like the hustle and the drive that has an artist that is loved by thousands of people compared to someone that has just as much talent, that works just as hard, that isn't? What do you think that main change is, that main factor?
Besides hustle?
Yeah. Because they both hustle, they're both great, but one of them catches the attention of the fans and one of them doesn't.
It's a lot of factors that go into that. I think it's all about, like, sometimes it just goes to appearance. Like, what is more, I mean, like, we go off of, you could have something and you could make a song and you could put it, just a song out. And I can make a song and I could put a video out instead of putting it on like a DSP or something like that and distributing it. People are visual these days. So sometimes it's all about the look, like what looks better. Just like something popular, that something that looks good. People are all about visual right now. Like you see everyone's in their phone. Sometimes people don't even really listen to music and take it in like that no more. It's all about videos, visuals, what looks good. So it could be just somebody that fits that narrative as far as the look goes. And that could be like the huge variable of who can make it and who don't.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you talk about a lot about like struggling and just being hungry and being willing to do whatever it takes, get uncomfortable. How do you grow a label from beginning to like nothing? Like no one knows about it, nothing. You just have like you and a couple other people, to something that's bigger with artists, appearances, contracts, all that. How do you go from start to finish?
It's all about connections, being out there, because you got to market. So you got to meet people, you got to touch elbows with people, you got to be out there. People got to see you, you got to talk to people, you got to invest more than anything, because nothing is free. Like everything costs money. So, and that eliminates a lot of people right there. Like, what do you want to do to make it happen? Because sometimes you got to work a regular job to make something happen, or sometimes you got to get out there and go hand to hand and sell CDs or something like that, just to meet something, to make something happen, because videos are expensive. Get someone to engineer your project is expensive. Cover art's expensive. Like, you can't do everything by yourself. You see artists that try to take shortcuts and they want to mix their own project and they want to make their own cover art and they want to try to shoot their own video on their phone. You might catch something like that, because some people might gravitate towards that, but a lot of the times that's like major failure. So it's all about like meeting people and try to find someone who can like sees the same vision as you and all that stuff like that, because it's expensive. You got to invest. So
what are some of the biggest things that you've learned from and mistakes that you've made along your journey?
Sometimes you got to put your ego to the side, and sometimes you got to let stuff go, because the more you hold on to something, the more expensive it gets. So I know that personally from like shooting videos and doing projects, and sometimes you sit on something and hold on to it and you be so passionate about it and you spend like X amount of dollars on it, and then, you know, it turns out to be nothing because you ain't put all into it and stuff like that. So I think my biggest thing that I would say would just be, sometimes you got less stuff going, move on to the next thing. So
yeah. I like that. Okay, and then what are some things that you feel like you help artists, how would I say it, create? For example, when you have an artist that's kind of finding their way, finding their voice, they love music, they have a drive, they know what they want to do, how do you kind of help them and shape them? What are some key factors that you try to like put them on to make them better?
Ooh, this is my favorite part.
Yeah, I'm glad.
It's all about building that confidence. Sometimes artists is more talented than they know they are. Or, you know, I went to school for music, so I learned how to produce and I learned how to engineer. I always had an ear for it, like, since forever.
Yeah.
I don't know how to play a guitar, I don't know how to play a saxophone or a keyboard, but if you put a saxophone player and a keyboard and a guitar in front of me and somebody know how to play it, I can make something out of it. I can have them play it and make something out of it. Same thing with singing. Like, I've been on, like, I would say executive producing something, mm-hmm. I would say, with R&B artists and things like that. And for R&B, I think it's hard, like, finding your voice, knowing what you're capable of doing, and, like, sometimes that confidence, when you lack that confidence, it could seep into your vocals. So it's all about building that confidence, pushing somebody further than they can go, and just be like, I think you can do this. I got the ear for it. I think, let's try this, or just pushing those boundaries. And maybe they might not get it right that first time, but they say, you know what, I'm going to get that the next time. That's something I'm going to strive for, because I like how that sounds. So right now, I got like a joint R&B project with one of my label mates, So New. And this has been like the most enjoyable musical thing I've ever did.
Yeah.
As far as like my own stuff, like I like it more than doing that. So,
really?
Yeah. So like we got R&B songs. I don't know how to sing, so I'm not singing. But,
you know your strengths, you know your weaknesses. Yeah, it's that simple.
But if you put a singer in front of me, I can write something. I can do the layers. I can help you with the layers. I know all the blends, the notes, the keys, what key to sing in, all that stuff. And I've never really dealt with R&B like that. It's just like an ear for it.
Yeah.
So like, and we created some remarkably dope stuff. Like, I'm excited for it to come out. So
when does that drop?
We still trying to get a couple of tracks done for it. It's like 98% done.
So we'd assume that it would come out sometime in 2020.
So New, it is coming out in February.
Okay, there we go.
It's coming out in February. So okay. Yeah, it's like we did that, like as far as like the beats and things like that, like we chopped up, we made some dope stuff. Like we brought some singers in, saxophone player on our intro, and like created something from scratch off the title for it is Back to Life. Mm-hmm. So the whole theme is off that Back to Life, Back to Reality song. So we like themed the whole project off of that. So like sitting in there, that was like the most, it seemed like we were just like in there just nonstop creating like crazy stuff, like pushing the boundaries of everything. Like he got him singing in falsetto. He's like, I can't even get to that tone. And I'm like, man, we're gonna do everything. Yeah. we can possibly do. We're gonna put it right there on this project. And that was like the best thing for me as far as like creating and like being more of a creator than like a rapper. So I like that way more than rapping.
Okay. So you prefer to be on the creative side, like behind the scenes?
That's what I would prefer. I would like to sit, ideally for me, if I can do anything in music, it would be something with somebody who plays an instrument or an R&B group or something like that, and I could write, score, being there with helping with the vocals and the layers and things like that, mix the project, mix and do things like that. that's what I would prefer to do. Like, just sit there on that creative thing. Because, like, when it comes to fruition and that finished product and, like, you have something to do with it, it's, like, way more rewarding than, like, a... I think that would be way more rewarding for me than the hit single.
Yeah.
If I had a hit single, I would rather be someone who wrote, someone who...
Like, ghostwriting?
Ghostwriting, something behind the scenes like that. That's what I would prefer to do.
So you don't want to be the face?
I would like to be the face. I think it's, like, more... I love... rapping, but my actual, my real, real passion is just that behind the scenes stuff.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. And when did you realize that that was the number one thing that you preferred over rapping?
It was in college.
Oh, really? So it was like early on?
Yeah. Okay. I went to college for mixing and mastering. And in that process, we did like a whole bunch of vocals, like mixing different type of genres of music. And I was like, man, this is, I like doing this. Like, just like when, like, an artist who I would think, like, I enjoy listening to, like, a mainstream artist, and that's just off their mixes, and, like, that finished product would be, like, Travis Scott.
Okay.
I was, like, abstract. You got, like, these, everything's popping out at you. It's, like, it pushes that boundary.
People love him.
Yeah, it's, like, it pushes that boundary of, like, what accepted sound is. And, like, to me, that's what I would like to do, like, the behind-the-scenes stuff like that, that's... Like, I can listen to a project and just hear... I hear things, like, in music that people probably don't even... Like, you hear that echo? That was, like, at 4 minutes and 3 seconds. Did you hear that? Did you hear that? They're like, no, I didn't.
That's how you know you're meant to do it. That's how you know you're meant to do it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, just catching those pockets and things like that. Like, it's crazy. To me, I love that stuff.
Yeah. And you learned a lot of it in school.
Yeah.
So you feel like you, like... Okay, when I meet a lot of people that have gone to school, they're like, I didn't learn nothing from school. But you're the complete opposite. Mm-hmm. You learned most of it from school?
I learned the fundamentals of it in school. I always had, like, that ear. I've been wanting to rap and do music since I was, like, in third grade. Mm-hmm. So I always had, like, I was beating on something or making a beat out of something. Or I can remember, like, being in fifth grade, like, writing raps about school. Or trying to start it off with poetry and then, like, okay, now I can make a song. And I thought I was, like, I had, like, fake albums that I used to, like, write the covers on top of stuff, like, when I was, like, in fifth and sixth grade. So it's, like, I always wanted to be, I always had an ear for it. And then once you find out, like, there's more than just rapping. There's more than just making a song. There's behind the scenes. And I'm, like, that's what I love to do. So. Yeah.
Why do you think, though, that you're the one still doing it and you're still going after what you want and your passion and what you, like, enjoy rather than maybe someone that you know growing up wanted to do the exact same thing that isn't doing it? Why do you think people quit?
Man, there's so many reasons why people quit.
How can they prevent themselves from quitting? Because I'm sure there's been times where you wanted to quit.
Oh, yeah. Like, I teeter with that even at this particular moment. Like, there's so many other business ventures that are, like, lucrative that I just, like, want to get into. But it's not about the money for me. It's just about creating. If I could sit in my room and, like, make music and record and I listen to it myself and drive around in my car, I'm fine with that. Like, to me, it's not all about making that hit record and being the face of something and doing that. Like, of course, you know, that would be a great thing, but that's not all it is to me. And for a person who wants to quit, I would tell them, why did you want to do it in the first place? You know, and once you can answer that question, like, if it's a genuine reason why you wanted to do it, then there's no quitting at all. You're always going to have to want to do something that has something. If I have, like, a 12-year-old kid somewhere, I'm like, you know what you can do? I'm going to be involved in something. You know, I might not be rapping or doing that, but, like, music, I'm always going to want to do that no matter what. So for someone who wants to quit, I would just say, why do you want to quit? And there's way more music than there is just being the face of something or creating something. Like, there's so much you can do.
Yeah.
So
did you have a mentor, like, that you learned from or that you kind of had in your corner to guide you through this? It mostly trial and error?
Trial and error. Making so many mistakes. Making mistakes.
Even with
mistake.
All the connections? Even with all the connections that you were making, elbow to elbow and everything.
Yeah, because I'm, like, socially antisocial.
Really?
And that's what music is to me. Is, like, I could really, like, just sit in a corner and just, like, create. And if I'm doing an album or something like that and it's, like, my own personal thing, like, you're not gonna see me nowhere. I'm just gonna be depressed making the song. It's just like a grind. It's like I never, as far as mentors, I wouldn't say I have a mentor, but you always gonna look at the landscape and see who's doing what. You can see who makes what mistakes and things like that. And it's just like, taken a little bit from everybody. I wouldn't say it's like a specific mentor, but I mean, you always see like the big people that do their own thing, and that's, you always want to accomplish what they accomplish, but yeah. Never had somebody like walk with me and tell me what to do or anything like that.
Yeah. Well, now's your chance. So with people that are listening or that want to do what you're doing or want to get into the music industry, they want to make it, all of that stuff. What are some key things, just like real simple, doesn't have to be a story or anything, but like maybe like three things that you can tell them, like, don't do this. Like, if you can avoid this, avoid it type deal.
Don't follow the crowd. Do your own thing, because, I mean, everyone's doing the same thing. You see people ride the wave. Do your own thing, because out of all the waves, somebody had to create the wave.
Yeah.
That's create a wave, you know. Be genuine to it. If this is what you want to do, you got to go all out. So don't have it. Don't half do it, because if you half do it, you get half results, and that's going to make you want to get out of it. And another thing don't come in expecting it to be easy. It's horrible out there. You meet horrible people. You run into people who don't care about what you want to do as much as you care about it. And that'll take the air out of you when you put so much stock into somebody else for your own dream. And that's why I always push the independence thing, like, do your own thing, because you are the one that's in control of your own destiny. So I would say, yeah, don't put your stock all in one thing and, like, you know, make it happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the whole ownership thing, too, like, obviously you're into the ownership aspect, mm-hmm. but then you obviously need artists that yeah. aren't owners. So why would an artist only be an artist? Like, are you guys... I'm sure you are. Transparent, like 100%, like straight up, like this is what you're doing, this is the contract, this is how we're doing it type of deal. Does that make sense?
You mean like having creative control over somebody else's
yeah.
stuff? Nah, we ain't on that type of thing.
No?
Yeah, to me, I always, like, what's the reason to do all that? Like, we can give you pointers. This is a bad move. Don't do that.
Yeah.
Don't do that. That's not going to get you anywhere or anything like that. But not saying, like, that song, don't do that. Like, as far as, like, don't follow your dream or
yeah.
to control, completely control something, of, to me, that's ingenuine. So, I mean, I wouldn't want to control someone's creativeness, because that's what makes it dope, is the creativeness. So
yeah.
you might see something that ain't tight to us, and it could be, like, that designer, I mean, he ain't did nothing after that, but, like, that yelling and screaming, like, that panda, that was, like...
Oh, yeah.
crazy big, like
yeah.
the ad-libs that people do yeah. now, you would never see somebody doing that back in the day. Like, do it, I mean, something could pop if you are like onto it,
mm-hmm.
and you believe in it, make it happen, because you are the face of your own thing. So I mean, I wouldn't put something like,
you want to set the expectation.
Yeah just go hard at whatever you're gonna do. Like, be serious about it, go hard about it, and make it happen, because When people start controlling every single solitary aspect of your art, then it's no longer art, something else.
Yeah. So. Very, very true. So tell these people where they can find you, and talk about the albums that are coming out.
Oh, man. You can find me at Rouge the Misfit on everything. RougheThamysfyt. Right now, I kind of worked backwards.
Okay.
So I did a project... called Label the Misfit, and that's my baby right there. So that's the core of how I like music. It's like laid back beats, real personal, and things like that. Kind of tells a story of like the whole journey. Some depressed stuff on there. Like really, you know, like telling the story, painting the picture. And that was my baby right there. So I had to do something. That's the core, and then I have stuff that leads up to that. So now I got my which is my current thing that I'm working on right now, which is my what is the name of that project?
You got three.
There's three of them. So no. So the one I'm working on right now is Reckless Endangerment.
Okay.
So that is the prelude to being labeled a misfit, and Reckless Endangerment is just like party records, just like not really caring about nothing, like just doing whatever you want to do, partying, just everything. So I got two videos right now. My first video, Right Back Booming, is out right now. It's on YouTube. It's everywhere. So go out there and watch Right Back Boomin'. That's like my little party right record right there. Yeah, okay. And then Cheat Code, that's the one I just went to LA and shot. That one's about to be ridiculously lit.
I'm excited.
So the picture I'm trying to paint with these projects is just like, so you got like the beautiful aspect of it, the partying, the living carelessly, spending money, and, you know, just like living that carefree life. And then the one that I have in between that is called Vices. And that is more like a reality of what you're doing. So everything looks beautiful on the outside, but sometimes on the inside, it's not like that. Let's get to the reality of it. So it's like the family life, relationships with women, partying all the time. Sometimes that shit gets tiring, yeah. You know? So, and, you know, it's like the reality of it. And then labeled a misfit, that's like the fruition of like living that kind of lifestyle. So I got that. I made sure I got the core finished, and now I'm just working on that prelude, that build up. So that's what I'm doing right now. So,
and which one comes out first?
Reckless Endangerment comes out first. So I got two more videos to do. I got a video for a song I got out right now called Fuck Some. That video is about to be retarded. So
that sounds like it's from the right album.
That video is about to be retarded. So I'm working on that one right now. I'm getting the locations and everything set up for it. Making music videos is stressful. That is like some of the most stressful. I can do so many things, but making
it. You're not directing it, are you?
I keep a hand in like everything.
Okay,
so
good,
like
good.
I do the storyboards and everything and all that stuff.
Dang.
Yeah.
You really do it all, don't you?
Yeah, man. I feel like if I can, if it's creative, I want to have a hand in it. So,
yeah.
And man, shout out to all the video dudes out there, man. Like, that is a whole another art form, another waveform. Like, man, it's crazy. I've seen some dudes sit down and edit things, and man, it is a whole another world.
Yeah.
I really want to try that too, because as far as mixing and mastering, like, I feel like that goes hand in hand, but just with visuals. Man, I want to try that one time. But so yeah, I got the Fuck Something video coming out. That one's about to be retarded. And then I got another video coming out shortly after that, and that's going to be what's the name of that one?
So many songs. It's okay.
Yeah, so
it's okay. Just know it's a lot.
Yeah, it's four videos for that project, and once them is done, I kind of want to get out of Sacramento and shoot them videos. Like, I shot the one in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where I want to go next. Maybe, like, Houston or something like that. Somewhere where it's, like, yeah, somewhere, like, out of state. Like, I just want to travel, meet people. I feel like that's how you be more successful. When you get out there, people see your vision. You never know. People might hate you in Sacramento, and you go to Houston, and people love
you
to death.
They love you. Yeah, you never know. You really never
and people
know.
People love you to death, so you don't want to box yourself in. So, yeah, I want to get out and shoot them videos. And then after that is Vices. I don't want to do no videos for Vices. That's more like I'll probably do like a 6-song EP with that one. And that would be like the after prelude to Label the Misfit. Label the Misfit is like a full-fledged album. It's already mixed, complete, cover art done, just sitting there waiting to hit the streets. So that's my baby right there.
So they can find that all on Instagram, YouTube.
Instagram, YouTube, Spotify, Apple Music, wherever it's at. I'm going to put it there. If you see me in Walgreens, I'm there too. If they got a music section, I'm in there. So
I love it. Okay, and obviously you do have a label. So for anyone that's aspiring to do something in music, mm-hmm. how do they get a hold of the label and you?
Ooh, that would be through the email, and that would be mindflip101@gmail.com.
Mindflip101@gmail.com.
You feel me? If you got a... We the ones right now. We gonna shape you. So
I love it. All right, guys. Thank you for being on the podcast.
Thank you for having me.